I would like to read with you in the book of the Psalms. Psalm 88. Psalm 88. It'd be great to read the whole psalm, but I'm just going to focus in on two verses that talk about the same thing. Verse 7, Psalm 88 and 7. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Someone in this verse says to someone else, thy wrath, thy anger, lies hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways. And the other verse is verse 16. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. Really, what we have just read is a light shining into a dark scene. Because these are actually the words of the Lord Jesus on the cross. And when he speaks and tells us what was happening when he was on the cross. And the reason I say it is a light in the darkness is because it was dark. It was the middle of the day, but it was dark. God had clothed that scene. He had made it go dark, completely dark. And I would just imagine at 12 noon, nobody would be carrying a lamp with them. They wouldn't even cross their minds to be prepared for darkness. And it went completely dark. So nobody, even the people who were there at the time, could see what was happening at the cross. But this psalm is like the light and the darkness. I remember a few years ago, my youngest boy, he decided, I don't know where he got the notion, but he wanted to get some night vision goggles. Night vision goggles. And grandparents were always attuned to those kinds of interests. And so they went and got him, I don't know where they got these things, these night vision goggles. And so being a good father, I felt it was my duty to test them out. And so I put them on too and went outside. And it was, thankfully, I think a little moonlight to help out. And through them we could see some faint shadows of a cat moving. This is not some kind of a vague notion of what happened when Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, was on the cross. This is a light that shines into it. And the amazing thing about it all is this light now, the words we just read, centuries before he was on the cross, it's already lighting up the darkness to tell us what's going on. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. And what the Lord Jesus says in this verse, he says, speaking to someone, he says, thy wrath lieth hard upon me. That someone's anger was laying hard upon him, coming upon him. Now, who was he speaking to? He could have turned and he could have spoken to the Jewish leaders. Or he could have turned and he talked to the Roman leaders. And he could have said, you have been angry with me. And your anger, your wrath, your cruel punishment, it is lying on me. But that's not who he's talking to. He's not talking horizontally to anybody. He's actually talking vertically to God. This is something that no painter and no movie producer could ever show. It is something that only the Bible can explain to you and to me. That when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, he spoke to God and he said to God, thy wrath lies hard upon me. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about this. The first thing is that there was no deserving of this wrath. There was no deserving of the wrath of God. Sometimes we have a strange idea of anger. We have a kind of a human idea. And we think that anger and wrath is something like just an emotion. Where you get all worked up about something, and then as time goes on, it'll slowly die down. I remember being out with my dad sometime when I was a boy, the age of some of these boys. And I was a tremendous little fella, and at least that's what my mom always tells me still. And when I was a little boy, I remember doing something, and my dad just said to me, I could tell he was angry. And he said, you are going to get it when you get home. And I knew what get it meant. And I knew that I was going to be disciplined and I deserved it. I knew that too. And so I was on a mission. I was a mission on that point, from that point forward, to get my dad to be distracted. And hopefully when he got home, he would be busy and he would forget all about it. And his emotion against my wrong action would just subside and just go away and all would be very well. Didn't really happen ever that I can remember. That's not the idea of the wrath of God. That somehow God is just fuming and he's red in the face and there's smoke coming out. That's not the idea at all. And yet there is emotion involved with it. You see, when God is angry, there is only one thing that produces anger and wrath in God. And that is sin. Disobedience. It is offensive to him, a breaking of his law. His response, yes, there's emotion involved, is that when there is sin, there must be punishment given out. That is fair. It is right because what has been done, what has been committed, is wrong. You know, sometimes I remember when I first got my driver's license. Being a little impatient, I remember following someone. We were actually coming to a meeting like this, and I was driving, and my brother was beside me, my older brother. And I got all worked up, and I was getting angry because the person, I don't know why it irritated me, but there was a person in front of me, and they had their left turn signal on, and that blinker, and we went for mile after mile, and it was blinking and blinking and blinking, and I wanted to just reach out the window and reach up and turn it off. I was angry. And my brother looked over to me, and he said, relax. It's no big deal. And I thought about it, you know, I'm all angry here. I'm all frustrated. It really is no big deal. That is exactly how most people think about God being angry about sin. And they look at it and they say, relax. It's no big deal. What I've done is really no big deal. It's not really a big problem. It's really not a cause to get upset. It's really not, it shouldn't get that kind of emotion. But you see, if you could understand tonight, when a sin is committed, whether it is a sin of action, a sin that is spoken through language, or a sin of something that is thought in the mind, all of that can be sin, that God looks at it as an infraction, as something that is offensive, repulsive, and it must receive the right response. And that is the wrath of God against sin. The right punishment against sin. And so I'm going to ask you tonight, do you deserve the wrath of God? Is there reason in your life? Has there ever been anything that you have done? Anything you ever thought or said? Any attitude you have ever had? Any wrong motives that God should respond to with His wrath? I can tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says there's no difference. For all have sinned. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Every one of us has in our lives. Doesn't matter whether there are many or few or big or small, public or private. Every sin. Tonight, if you could understand it, I can tell you, you would have one tremendous, one central focus and one worry in your life. What about the wrath of God? The right response of God against my sin. It is a big deal. And God must give out sin. It must give out punishment for sin. The wrath of God. And if there is any doubt about your sin, just let me ask you tonight. If I went and I talked to your friend, I won't do it. And I said, can you tell me a little bit about, what's your name? Tell me a little bit about him. But what if I went to your brothers and sisters and said, now, do you recall any time when they sinned? And or what if I went straight to your mother and I asked your mother, can you tell me, I know you love the boy, I know you love your daughter, but can you tell me, has she ever sinned? Broken one of the Ten Commandments? If you're like me, I would prefer you never go ask my mother, my brothers, my friends. I'll just face it here and now. The reality of my sin that deserves the wrath. And if there was any doubt still, What if we turned to God about your case and said, God, is there any reason in your life? Think about that. The God of heaven who knows the heart, who knows all your life, He does not forget. He is the one who has, the Bible speaks about in a coming day of judgment, books will be open and all sin will be reviewed. It's all recorded. It's all known. And God will have the list of all the reasons, all the sin that deserves the wrath of God. I remember the night just over 40 years ago. It's the worst night of my life. It's also the best night because I got saved that night. But the worst night of my life was when suddenly I faced the awful, solemn reality. It's not just that God is bigger than I am, and if He wants to punish me in a real hell, then He can do that and I can't do anything about it. That's not what I was thinking. It's not that God can punish me. That night I discovered for the first time it's that God should punish me for my sin. The wrath of God should come upon me fairly, righteously. And I discovered that night that if God put me in hell, He would be absolutely fair. My sin, that bad, deserving that wrath for all eternity. I ask you again tonight, are you not concerned about the wrath of God for your sin? But think about this scene for a moment. What about the man on the cross? If you went and you asked people who were around, you recall what happened? There was a judge, and three times over he said, I find no fault in him. His wife sent him a message. And you should always listen to your wife, or at least consider. And she sent him a message and she said, I have nothing to do with this just man. She had that, perhaps that, she had a dream and that idea that there's, that this man does not deserve this. But you know, sometimes they say criminals can identify other criminals better. They know what a real criminal is. You know, there was two criminals beside the Lord Jesus, and one of them turned to the other one and he said, the man in the middle, this man. He said, he's done nothing amiss. He's not one of us. And prison guards who hear all the stories and see all the ends and hear it all, they're pretty smart. They can pick them out. There was a guard that day. He had seen many people die. And often when people are suffering, that's when they'll come out with the truth. That man said about this man. He said, this is a righteous man. Never did anything wrong. This is the Son of God. He could never do anything wrong. You see, there was no deserving of any kind of wrath. Those Romans and those Jews, when they came to the Lord Jesus and they punished Him, it was completely unacceptable. It was completely undeserved. There was no deserving of any kind of treatment like that from them. But what if you went and you talked to His brothers? You know, the brothers of the Lord Jesus, His half-brothers and sisters, they weren't Christians. They weren't in favor of Him. The interesting thing is not one of them stepped forward to say, I want to tell you about when he was a boy. And his own mother Mary, never a word. Why? Because this man had done nothing amiss. He is the only person on planet Earth. The only man on planet Earth that did not deserve the wrath of God for his sin. And so you ask all the people, what if you turn to God and you said, oh God, what about the Lord Jesus? Does He deserve the wrath of God for sin? The answer already came back from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm. God can only say this about the Lord Jesus. I'm well pleased. There is no deserving of punishment in the Lord Jesus. Nothing from men, nothing from God. Then why did the Lord Jesus turn and look to heaven and say, Thy wrath lies hard upon me. All Thy ways have just come over me. What has happened? I can tell you this. There was no deserving of it. And I will never fully understand. But I will be forever grateful for this statement. That although there was no deserving, the wrath of God fell on Him. But I want you to think for a moment with me. I want you to think as well about how there was no diverting. There was a story in the Old Testament. Most of you might be familiar with it. Many of you anyway. There was a man and he went up a mountain with his son. And as Abraham went up that mountain, he came to the point where God told him, and he was now going to lift up a knife. He tied up his son. He put him on a, likely a rock altar. And as he was laying there, the fire was waiting to complete a sacrifice. And as that knife went up, suddenly God intervened and stopped that man. You know what diverting is, don't you? A plane is going to fly into Winnipeg Airport, and as the plane is coming on final approach, suddenly they call from the tower and they divert the plane and it goes over to, I don't know what other cities around here, but some other place. I'm from the States, forgive me. You see, that's diverting a plane. Abraham lifts up the knife. God stops. Abraham turns. There's a ram over there that's caught by its horns in a thicket, in a thorn bush. He goes and gets the animal. Now he lifts the knife. What happens? It doesn't come down on the sun. It's diverted and it comes down on someone else. It comes down on a ram. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? When the God of heaven is about to pour out his wrath on the Son, the Lord Jesus. And on that day, there was no diverting. He says, "Thy wrath lieth hard upon me." There was none to help. There was nobody there. It had a concentration like an avalanche. It all came down on the Lord Jesus. Could I just remind you tonight that if you ever face the wrath of God, it will be personally directed to you. Why? Because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The responsibility. Every man shall be judged according to his work. The Word of God makes it clear that the wrath of God is directed towards the person who has the responsibility for sin. Well, then why, when it came down on the Lord Jesus, wasn't it diverted for my sin upon me? Why has it not been diverted upon you? You see, the wrath of God came upon the Lord, and he says, "Thy wrath lies hard upon me." You know, I remember when I was a boy, again, age of these boys, I absolutely dreaded getting a cough. The cough was bad. The only thing worse than the cough was when my mother got out the cough syrup. That awful tasting medicine. And to try and get it down me without me gagging, she used to mix it into orange juice. She said, if I dilute it down, make it easier and just make it slide down, just a little easier to take. I asked you tonight, when God unloaded and sent down his wrath on the Lord Jesus, let me tell you tonight, there was not only no diverting, there was no diluting. There was no sense in which God said, "But I love him, I'm going to hold back a little bit." You know, that happened to me the other day. We have a little dog, and I took him out for a walk. And as I was walking along came this man, and he had another dog. His dog was big, it was all hairy, and it was ugly. And he brought this dog over. You know, when my little dog jumped up on me, I might give him just a little knee, you know, to get him to get down. Don't jump up me. Don't like that. This hairy beast come running over to me, paws up to jump on top of me. I have to confess. Hope you won't be hard on me. That hairy beast, I unloaded with my knee a little bit, right in his chest. Now, when my little dog does it, see how that's just human tendency, just when it's somebody, and it's not even a somebody, it's my dog. I just hold back a little bit. Got the principle now? When God responds to sin, there is no diverting.
And there's no diluting. There's no holding back. God spared not His own Son, but He delivered Him up for us all. He didn't hold Him back. Nothing in reserve. And when the punishment of our peace was upon Him, there was no diluting it down to make it a little easier to take. And there was no kind of holding back a little bit, because after all, this is the Son of His love. The Son of the Father, says John. God didn't hold anything back. The Lord Jesus was on the cross. And God, with His wrath, responding to sin. What did the Lord Jesus say? First, thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Second of all, did you read it with me? He says, thy fierce wrath, with all of its fierce character, with all of the pain and the weight and the force of it all, it came down, and the Lord Jesus experienced all the waves like a pounding storm that pummeled Him, all the waves, all the wrath. Can I tell you tonight that when God, if He ever deals with sin, with His wrath, with you, don't think for a moment, after all, I know the Bible, God will hold back a little bit. After all, I know a little bit about the Bible. After all, I've wanted to be saved. You know, really, I think I do have some good in me. When God deals with wrath, in wrath with your sin, be advised, please, can I say it to you kindly but faithfully? Be advised. There will be no diluting. You will feel the righteous wrath of God and all of its force and fury. Do you not sense the need tonight to go in to find out how you can be saved from that wrath? That righteous response of the Lord, of God? Let me close by telling you that there was no distributing either. In the Bible, there were pieces of furniture in the Old Testament, and there was whole tribes of men that were picked, and they could carry those pieces of furniture. They had poles, and they would put them through rings on the furniture and carry them on their shoulder. It would be the same if tonight I said, as I got up before Mr. Williams speaks to you tonight, if I said, I would like to move this and we'll put it over there. And if I went to try and pick this up, I'm sure all of these strong young men here would spring out of their seats being gentlemen, and they would come over, and between us all, I might grab this little corner here, and he might grab this one and this one. And what would we be doing? We distribute the weight out among us all. Makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Could I tell you tonight that when my Savior was on the cross, the wrath of God was not distributed between Him and some angels. It was not distributed between Him and Mary. It was not distributed between Him and the apostles. Yes, there was a man who helped Him carry the piece of wood, but there was no man who would help Him when it came to the time of the wrath of God. He could say, I look for some to take pity. I look for some. And it was no one. No one to help Him. He was alone. All alone, as we sang tonight. There was no distributing it out among others. The Lord Jesus, what did Peter say? He said, He, His own self, bore our sins and His own body on the tree. The wrath of God was taken by the Lord Jesus, and He took it all. No distributing. But I just remind you, as I take my seat, there's no doubt why. No doubt why. The reason was not because He deserved it, but because He was taking responsibility for sin that He had never committed, the payment for sin. And the wrath of God, there's no doubt about it. I have no doubt about it. Because God tells me here in this book, this is the verse I was reading, March 31st, 1974. Christ also has once suffered for sins. The wrath of God He suffered. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And when I read, Christ also has once suffered for sins, I thought to myself, is it really true? It is true. He has taken the wrath for my sin, the just for the unjust, in my place. No doubt about it. What will I say to the Lord Jesus when I see Him face to face? Thanks? Just seems so small, doesn't it? I try to speak a second language. I could try and combine it, say it two different languages. Would that make any difference? Some of you speak three, four languages, maybe. I ask you tonight, how could a person ever thank the Lord Jesus enough for taking the wrath of God for them? You see, tonight, you will face the wrath of God, or you will come to understand and appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. If you could really understand tonight what He did, the only right response, the only logical response, the only biblical response is for you to rest and trust in Him, the one who took all the wrath of God. He, His own self, bore our sin. He turns to God and He says, "Thy wrath lieth hard upon me." We're not supposed to add to the Scripture, but just inside my head, there's just two little words that when the Lord Jesus says, "Thy wrath lieth hard upon me," I just feel like interjecting and saying, "For me, I'm saved." What about you tonight? As you listen to the further preaching of the gospel, our hope and prayer is that you too will be saved from the wrath you deserve through Him.